To be complete. To be complete. Isn't that what we strive for our entire lives? To be complete? To have everything together? To finally get to that place that we've been going all of our lives? And to get that job and to have that relationship and to feel good about ourselves? To feel good about this world? To be complete. What does it take to be complete? Jesus. That's really, that's the entire answer, isn't it? But yet we still don't always feel, and mind you, feelings are deceptive. We don't always feel complete. I keep thinking as I do this message about, you complete me. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Somebody has a relationship, especially this brand new relationship. I think of Greg and Zanetta as they're getting married. They've been together, but they're getting married. You complete me. That's what they're saying as they get married. You complete me. I want you with me for the rest of my life. My life isn't the same without you. You complete me. And as Dave has just pointed out to us, who really completes us is God himself. And without God, we are incomplete. We are missing something. 1 John is such an amazing book. Hebrews was off the charts. I would never be the same after having gone through Hebrews with you. But 1 John is at another level as well. John, I swear, I don't know what happened with this guy. I don't know how he got this kind of revelation. But I mean, you can look at one sentence coming from the Gospel of John, or from 1 John, or from the book of Revelation, and you got to think about it. You got to ponder it. You got to figure it out. Because it has dimensions that are beyond our comprehension. And even if you figure it out for now, you'll come back to it next year, and it'll reveal even more. The Holy Spirit, I think the Holy Spirit was on overtime with John. And 1 John is an amazing book. So 1 John is once again, just like Hebrews, is about the people who are shrinking back. It's about the people who are having second thought. Ever have a second thought? I do that all the time. It is maddening, especially on purchases. Oh my goodness. I was at TV20 and I was given the responsibility of buying over $100,000 worth of equipment. So I researched everything. I looked at all the cameras. I looked at all the computers. I looked at all the different editing gear. I looked at every editing software. I looked at everything. I had $100K to play with. I had consultants. I did all my research. I did everything you could possibly do, and then some. And what do you know, a year later? I'm like looking at that camera I get for the news crew. I'm like, oh, is that the right camera? Man, I think we could have got a better one. I think we could have got a better deal. There's a new one coming out now, and of course, you know, it's coming out. It wasn't out then. It's coming out now, and maybe we should have waited. You ever do that? And you second guess yourself? So that's what's happening with these people as John is speaking with them. They're second guessing. They're second-guessing God. You ever do that? No. No, we don't second-guess God, do we? We don't second-guess like, oh, well, should I have taken that job, or should I have done this or done that? And did you really talk? Sounds like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Did you really say that, God? Is that really what you wanted me to do?
They're in trouble.
1 John, John is talking to the Christians. He's talking to the new believers. He's talking to the new church. And they're shrinking back. They're getting false information. Can you relate in this day and age about false information? We were just talking about it and right before service about AI. and how you consult AI. Mary will consult AI, and all you have to do these days is Google something, and you Google, you're going to get AI, and AI is going to give you an answer. And Mary came back one time and questioned AI and said, "Hey, well, this is not what I found out. I found out when I researched it that this other answer." And you know what AI said? "Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I was incorrect." And this is what we're banking everything on? Something's wrong with that picture. It may not be correct. It says in fine print, right? There's that fine print thing. But God is always, always correct. He's always right. And so they're shrinking back, but they shouldn't be. And so John is trying to tell them, wait a minute. Don't get deceived. Don't get distracted. Boy, I can relate. It's so easy to get distracted. Let's get into it. How to be complete. First John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Remember what I said about one-liners? One line. We know that we have come to know him if, underline, circle, put some brackets around it, if we keep his commands. So what does that mean? To know God, to really know God, is to obey God. As we obey him, we know him more. Why is that? Well, I think it's because we put it to practice, you know. We walk the walk. We do the thing, you know. We don't just give it mind credence in our mind. We don't just give it lip service. We don't just say we're going to do something. We actually do it. And you ever see that when you actually do it, you learn more? You know, you want to learn something? Teach it to somebody else. If you teach it to somebody else, you will know it like you wouldn't believe it. So if we want to know God, and I think everybody here, right, who wants to know God? Who wants to know God better? Did you know that you can know God better if you obey God? Wow, I'm not sure I knew that. Remember who we're talking to. We're talking to these Christians who are shrinking back. We know that we have come to know him. There's two no's in there. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. Man, John, he doesn't mince words here. He says, if you don't keep his commands, you don't just not know him, you're a liar. I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful here. I don't think he's calling names out. I think he's just objectively saying that you are incorrect, that you are mistaken, or you are purposely lying. Or maybe you're just lying to yourself. So if you think that you can just fool God and say, "Hey, yeah, I've read your word, and I know what you say, but you don't do it," you're not fooling anyone but yourself. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Once again, it's just a one-liner here. But if anyone obeys his word, not only do we hear his word, not only do we know his word, not only do we study his word, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete. Let's step down there for a second. Are we saying here that we don't completely love God if we don't obey God? That's exactly what we're saying. Not only do we not know God, but we are not complete. So, like Dave said, to be complete, is Jesus. But not, it's not just Jesus. It's not just throwing his name around. It's not just reading the word. It's to obey his word. He says it to his own disciples over and over again. You are my disciples because you have obeyed what I told you, the Father told me. We are made complete. Now, think about that. We pursue being complete our entire lives. And our entire lives, we keep thinking, well, if I just get this, can I just get this job? That'll make me complete. But then we get the job, and the boss is kind of hard to deal with, and the money ain't there, and it's like, yeah, well, that was okay. Or we have a new exciting hobby, and we get the newest thing for it, and we're all excited for about a week. Or we have that relationship, the perfect person. Okay, we're in fantasy land, right? The perfect person. Until a year later when the honeymoon period's over and they start showing their real colors and they start having some demands on us and all of a sudden paradise has got some kinks in it. And all of a sudden this person that was going to make me complete is not making me complete anymore. We see it over and over and over. But God can make us complete if got to circle that if, we got to underline that if, we got to put brackets around that if, we got to highlight that if we obey his commands. So that really begs the question, what are his commands? And you know, God is simple. He's profound, but he is not complicated. What is his command?
To obey him.
To obey him, to do what?
To love others
as I have loved you. To obey me and to love others. We're going to get to that because we're going to go deeper. We're going to go to a little bit of a convicting place today. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Okay. How do I do that? First of all, I got to know how did Jesus live. What was Jesus' number one thing that he did right? Well, he did everything right. But what was the number one thing that he did right above everything else? Was the number one thing he did right even when he didn't want to? Because the real test is if you're going to really see if you're going to obey God is when you do stuff you don't want to do because he told you to do it. What does that bring to mind? I'm thinking of the garden. I'm thinking about sweat and blood. I'm thinking about saying, hey, I know what's coming up. I know how bad it's going to get. I know I'm going to get betrayed. I know they're going to all desert me. I already told them that. I know what's happening next. I know this group is coming for me. I know they're going to crucify me, the worst possible torture that we've ever invented. I know I'm going to die on that cross. I know that it's going to be excruciating. Hey, Father, Dad, Abba, can we maybe not do this? Can this cup pass? No, my son. Well, okay, Dad. Okay. I trust you. Jesus obeyed. They're spitting in his face. Father, forgive them. Jesus obeyed. He had compassion. He knew that his job, his purpose, was for everyone else. And that's the other thing. If you want to be like Jesus, let me give you one word. It's a hard word. Selfless. Selfless. Think of others first. Take care of others. Selfless, not selfish. We're going to talk about that darkness. I believe that darkness is selfishness. Dear friends, John says, hey, you're my friends. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have seen since the beginning. The old command is a message you have heard. Now, we can take this two different ways. We can take it that the command, and we know what the new command is to love others as you want to be loved and treat others the way you want to be treated, and to love others as, you know, Jesus loved you, went to that cross for you. We know that one. But the other one, the old command, was very simple. It was when they were given the Ten Commandments, but, you know, they're all making a golden calf because they're already disobeying God. Before they even get the rules, they're disobeying the rules. Now, that's disobedience. They've taken it to a whole new level. They haven't even gotten the commands yet, and they're already breaking the ones that they're going to get. How do you do that? How do you break the commands that you haven't even been given yet? I mean, they took it to a whole new level. They disobeyed, and they disobeyed, and they disobeyed, and they paid the consequences, and they paid the consequences. Can you relate? How many times do we have to pay the consequences? How many times do we got to figure it out? I think that's part of maturity. I think that's part of it as we get older. Hopefully we're getting a little wiser. Amen. A little bit. And we're learning our lessons a little earlier. Not always. But when we're young, now, you know, they say that, we found this out when we adopted our Ash, that, you know, the brain does not form consequences until you're 25. It does not understand consequences. Boy, that explains a heck of a lot, doesn't it? Especially with teens. I mean, they literally do not understand consequences. I mean, their brain just can't get it.
The frontal lobe
is not developed yet. Continuing. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. We talked about that. We talked about glowing. We talked about shining. But you can't glow and you can't shine if you have darkness in you. There comes the conviction, Bart. Get ready. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. I got to repeat that. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. There's no place for hate. Our world is revolving around hate these days. There's so much hate. They got different names for it, different organizations for it. We've had hate since the beginning of time, have we not? Yeah. But if we have hate in our heart, And you're going to have to define that word. You're going to have to see if we're talking about just a little bit of hate or a whole bunch of hate. We know that a whole bunch of hate is messed up, right? But what about just a little bit of hate? Just a little bit. I don't really hate that person. I just hate what they do. I don't really hate that person. I just kind of hate their personality. I don't really hate that person. I just don't want to be around them.
Pastor, we don't use that word. We use dislike.
We use dislike, is what Jan says. We don't use hate. We just say we kind of dislike. What is it? We call it these days toxic. It's a toxic relationship. Therefore, I've got to get out of it because it's affecting me. I'm getting some of that toxicity. Really? Sounds like an excuse to me. It sounds like we're just going to, you know, justify how we're going to leave somebody completely out of our lives. I was just talking to somebody, and they're talking to me about, you know, people who won't associate with them. You know, Why? Half the time we don't know why. It's been going on for 5, 10, 15 years. We don't even remember how it started. All we know is there's that little bit of hate in there, and we don't like that word, hate.
No.
So we'll just change it to dislike. We want to take the Bible and we want to edit it so we can take out the words we don't like. We don't like. We don't hate the words. We just don't. I love George Carlin. Anybody? George Carlin was probably the best comedian ever. And the reason is because he knew how to play with words. And if you ever listen to him, he just takes words and he starts playing around with them. He says, like, why do we think this or that? You know, I think Seinfeld just took his cue from George Carlin. George Carlin was a master at words and word speak and looking at the definitions and why some words affect us the way they do. Because then it gets into that feelings thing.
Pastor, the problem is some of our attitudes like that affect other people.
Some of our attitudes,
kids.
LaWanda says, affects other people, and it does. It has this chain effect. Look what it says. Anyone who claims to be in the light, hey God, we're good, I'm with you, but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. That darkness engulfs us. Remember we talked about that, that one little pin light, one little candle will shatter darkness, but darkness engulfs. It just comes on everything. It takes over everything. It grows like a fungus. It grows like a disease. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, brother and sister. And there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Stumble. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've stumbled into things. I don't know, man. I'm not really clumsy, but sometimes Mary says I'm not present for the moment. We used to have a wood burner right outside our bedroom door. Don't ask me why. They put a wood burner in the family room right outside where you walk out the bedroom door. So that in the early morning when you have no lights on yet and you're just kind of groggy, you can shove your toe into it. I can't tell you how many times. I mean, I'm talking black and blue and throbbing. I can't tell you how many times I hit that thing. I mean, it would jaunt out like this and I would bam, stumbling. All I had to do was turn on a light. You know, sometimes I don't because it's going to disturb other people in the household. So I'll stumble around in it. Yeah, real smart. I'll stumble around in the dark, and then I'll wake them up when I start screaming because I slammed my toe into the brick again. We stumble around in the darkness because the darkness is engulfing us. You know, you ever watch news?
No.
You ever get engulfed in news?
No.
You ever watch the same clip? They show it over and over and over. They show the same clip for like 3 days straight. Exact same thing. And you'll sit there engulfed in the screen.
The towers.
Watching it again. Yeah, how many times you gotta watch the towers go down? I mean, and you get addicted to news. The people get addicted to news. And so they get into all this news, and they're walking around, and they got this sorrowful look on their face, and they're in this bad mood. Well, I wonder why, because they just heard about all the killing and all the stuff and all the politicians and all the badness. And it's just, they're engulfed in darkness. We have to be very careful. Talk about wisdom. We gotta be careful about what we watch. We gotta be careful about what we see. We gotta be careful about what we do. And we need to be careful about what we think, because it all starts there.
And we have to be careful with our kids too, because they be watching stuff that they should be watching.
We especially have to be careful with our kids and what they're watching and what they're watching, what they're seeing us do. Final verse. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness. Hear this. You got anything against anybody? You got some old grudges going on? You got some people that you just kind of don't like and don't want to be around, that you'd rather just distance yourself from? Listen up. But anyone who hates a brother or sister, And you don't have to take hate to the utmost degree, like, I can't stand that person, that never any of you, not even at that, any level. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. You are messing yourself up. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Hate will blind you. Prejudice will blind you. Dislike. My friend George Carlin would say, dislike will blind you. God is, what did we say the other week? God is light. He is light. He's literally light. Every time I see light, it's God. It's a reminder. Might even be part of, like, light's a weird phenomena. It's a God thing. The universe is a weird thing. It's a God thing. All of our creation, it's strange. Don't you think it's strange? I mean, we take it all for granted that you stick a seed in the ground, and next thing you know, you get this gigantic tree. Isn't that a little odd? Is it just me? That you can plant all these seeds and all these different color flowers come up, and then we can see color? Isn't it kind of odd? I mean, we walk around inside of this miracle, but I'm going to tell you, if darkness engulfs you, you can't see. You can't see color anymore. You can't see that tree anymore. You can't see that blue sky. You can't even see the sun. You can't see anything. And that darkness can engulf you from inside. The room doesn't have to go dark. You do. Have you ever been there? Ever get really mad at somebody? Ever start playing the scenarios in your head? Yeah, well, if I see them again, I'm going to tell them this and that, and I should have said this and that, and oh, I would have gave them this and that. I see you chuckling. We've all been there. Play the scenarios off in our minds. That is darkness, and it is engulfing you, and it's going to make you have a bad day, a bad week. And maybe even, you ever meet somebody? A bad life. Amen. They're toxic, all right. They got so much darkness in them that they're spreading it out. Just like light can come out from us, darkness can too. John is warning them. And he's warning us over 2,000 years later. Don't let darkness engulf you. If you got an issue with somebody, speak it out. The games we play in our heads are so much larger than life. And most of the time, it will come to resolution if we simply address it immediately. Sometimes you need to think about it for a day because, like, are we overreacting? Like, is it really a big deal? But you got to come to your grips with it either way. And you can't hold it against somebody. Man, we hold so much against each other. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
We hold so much against each other. Every time we do that, we give darkness a hold. I don't know about you, but I want my light to shine bright. I don't want no dimmer switch.
Amen.
Darkness is a dimmer switch on the light that God gave us. My prayer is that God gets rid of the dimmer switch and just turns it on to a switch that comes on in full brightness. Let us pray, dear Father God. We thank you that you've given us the example. Jesus obeyed. Jesus lived in the light. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the, when you said, let there be light, he created light. It's a God thing. We thank you it's a God thing. We don't want to figure it all out. Only thing we need to figure out is that we love you. And that you told us to love one another as you love us. Let's go and obey. This we ask in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Of what we should do each and every moment. We surrender. We're back to the beginning here, right? And we let God have his way with us. I think that it was in there about to have his desires in us. We said the same thing at the front that we're saying at the back. Not a coincidence. All we got to do, God makes it so simple, is surrender and let God have his way and get rid of all the darkness so we can shine with his perfect light. Let us pray. Dear Father God, remove the darkness. Reveal the darkness that is hidden in us so we may deal with it, so we may confess it, so that you may eradicate it, so we may shine like the sun. This we ask, so we may shine like your sun. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week.